You're listening to KCBS In-Depth.
Really, in order to find quality care, you often have to be on a wait list that's months long.
The people, places, and issues the Bay Area is talking about.
The aggressive advocates who were looking to overrule Roe for so long, they really had no idea of the consequences they might be opening up.
In this case, there very well may be charges that are appropriate. For example, trying to obstruct an official proceeding of Congress, right? That is unlawful.
This is KCBS In-Depth.
There might not be a more important conversation to be had in the Bay Area than the one about homelessness. It's a crisis that every county is facing, and many are trying to find a solution that works for everyone. The city of San Jose recently pushed to speed up the building of 200 tiny homes to be put on a VTA-owned lot to help provide shelter for those who are unhoused. But in the meantime, the number of people who are homeless seems to continue to grow, and that's being felt especially in East San Jose and for a specific group of people, high school students. Welcome to KCBS In-Depth, broadcasting throughout the Bay Area and streaming on the Odyssey app. I'm Mary Hughes. So, what's behind this increase in students being homeless in East San Jose? And what's being done to help them? For a closer look at this, we're going to start our conversation off with Sergio Diaz Luna, Director of Communications with the Eastside Union High School District. Sergio, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me on a topic that I think is very important. There's a lot to get into. So your time with Eastside Union High School District, you know, what have you seen as you've been working there when it comes to the number of students who find themselves in a homeless, an unhoused situation? Have the numbers gone up?
Yeah. So looking here at our district, the historical trends in 2020, we were looking at about 300 unhoused students by this time of the year. This year we're at 900. So over the course of 3 years, we've tripled the number, or we've seen the number of students who are unhoused triple here in the district. So it's definitely something that we're seeing. It's a trend, and not just here, but throughout California. I think everyone is seeing that there's a increase of folks who are homeless for different reasons. People might be living without a home because of the inflation and affordability crisis, the rollback of the pandemic renter protections. And some of our students have even informed us that they've lost some of their loved ones during COVID. So that is part of it.
Well, and I know that I think when we tend to think of someone being unhoused, you know, we are picturing someone who is, you know, strictly, you know, out on the street or something of that nature. But the actual definition of homelessness has kind of expanded to where this could be someone who's just like couch surfing between friends' homes or, you know, various family members, or maybe in a living situation where there's so many people that it's not conducive to, you know, to having somewhat of a more stable way of life. Have you seen that play out for students in East San Jose?
Yeah, I think a lot of the families here fit any one of those definitions. That's how we qualify students that qualify for the McKinney-Benz program. So we go off of the CDE's definition of homelessness. And for the California Department of Education, they define a homeless student as anyone who's living in their car, living in transit, temporary shelters, garages, renting a room from a family member, even. And oftentimes, yeah, it's folks who do not have stable housing, who are making it by staying at their friend's house and their family's house. And we see that here too.
Well, and you mentioned a program, and we'll get to that in just a moment, but I am curious, you know, what do you hear from the students themselves? Like, how is this affecting them? Because it's already tough to be young, to be a teenager, I think, in this world. You're going through so many different things and learning so much about yourself, and to have on top of it this housing insecurity. You know, what do you hear from them on the ground level?
Yeah, well, one thing we know is that our students are really resilient. So they oftentimes work to face challenges on their own. So we really have to train our staff to hear the signs that a student may be homeless or facing homelessness, because they won't always come out and say it out in the open. They'll say things like, oh, my parents lost their job recently. I'm sleeping at a friend's house. I haven't had something to eat for a while at home. Those are the kind of signs that our staff is trained to pick up on and hear about students who are homeless, so that we can provide them the support. And I think in our district, we're really conscious about bringing comprehensive support services. And so our student services team provides a lot of support for in-house students to support with things like basic needs, whether that be school supplies or a food pantry on campuses, transportation through buses. We provide free bus passes for students who are in McKinney-Vento programming. And all of these things help kind of bridge the gap for students who are facing homelessness and help them access services more easily. And so all of that is part of what we try to do and look at in how we can provide those services, bring support for in-house students, and really respond to the kind of things they're coming to us with when they do kind of mention those signs of being in-house.
Well, and you know, there we heard about the program again, the McKinney-Vento program. Tell me more about what that program is.
The McKinney-Vento Homeless Assistance Act really defined support services that school districts should be providing for students. And that's a federal law that the way that we see it play out here in our district is by providing those additional supports for students through our student services team. What's going on with our McKinney-Vento program during the holiday season, what we're kind of looking out and fundraising for at the moment, is to provide direct support and direct gifts for the things that we can't pay for. So we're asking our community to help make the holiday season special for students who qualify for McKinney-Vento by providing a little extra this season. Well, the Eastside Education Foundation and our district are going to be providing each student's family with gift cards so that they can, you know, purchase shoes, clothing, and school supplies, or just really a nice holiday meal. You know, it's based on donations, because a lot of the state and federal funding that we receive for students doesn't allow us to fund some of these things. So we're really looking to community support. One thing I will say about that is oftentimes when students do receive a gift card and they do receive a gift, they're always thinking about others, which is really kind of them, because they're always saying, oh, I'm going to buy and use this gift card to buy groceries for my mom, and buy my brother these socks. I'm going to be buying my dad a sweater because his is ripped. Those are the kind of things that we hear from students when they receive these gifts. And that's a little bit about kind of who they are.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And you mentioned that, you know, having something like an event where these, you know, these young people can get gift cards so that they can, you know, have a good holiday season. You know, these are the kind of things that on a state and federal level, you know, the funds aren't there for that. And that does have me, you know, curious. What is the funding like when it comes from the state and from federally? Like, I mean, is enough coming to school districts to help with this?
Yeah, I think here in California, we recently had the local control and funding formula that kind of provides funding based on a certain calculation based on need per school district. And here at Eastside, we receive money through that formula. But I think for our district specifically, we're in a little bit of a tight space compared to other in our county, because we receive less funding per pupil than other districts that rely both on that state funding and on their community funding. So, you know, when we're thinking about the dramatic rise of students in the East Side who qualify for McKinney-Vento and are impacted by the statewide trends in homelessness, our students are disproportionately impacted, and we see more of that here in East Side San Jose. Part of that is because the funding that we receive from the state and federal sources is kind of determined by the local control funding formula, and sometimes it's a little harder for that formula to calculate the extra needs that we don't always account for. So things like clothing, things like shoes, things like housing, yeah, that we can get into like all the really specifics of state funding for education. But I think in our district, what we're really seeing is that that formula is accounting to some level for the needs that we have, but still not enough when others in our county are receiving twice the amount of money for students.
Yeah, you know, I feel like that can sometimes be the pitfall of when, as you say, when a formula kind of has this set parameters of what it counts as, oh, this is the need, and so here you go, when those needs extend out far beyond that. Is there anything that the district itself can do to change that, or is that something that has to come from a state like overhaul of the formula, or even a federal overhaul?
Yeah, I think recently there's been a rising awareness about the need to review the local control funding formula and kind of edit it. So there has been some advocating for change. I know our superintendent here at Eastside has been part of conversations about how do we make a formula that's more equitable for students that will help us provide the services that nearby districts can provide their families. Because we're working with what we have, and we're maximizing the use of funds that we receive. And if we were to get more, we can provide more services. And our superintendent has been a part of that advocacy, part of those advocacy conversations with leaders in the county.
Well, and, you know, we're kind of talking about here, you know, what can be done, you know, what is kind of being advocated for in order to improve what students there in East San Jose who are dealing with homelessness in order to help and to give more support. But just kind of on a big, you know, more broad perspective here, you know, what can be done locally and otherwise to, you know, to make things better? Because it's one of those things of like, oh, well, you know, you take the first steps to improve things, but it sort of feels like we're almost at a point where, you know, multiple steps need to be taken kind of quickly in order to bring these numbers down. So, you know, what can we do? What can be done?
Yeah, so as a school district, we're really looking at the services that we're providing students, we're providing families through the funds that we have available that we can use. So things like social workers on campus, things like mental health, wellness centers on campus help provide resources that can close this gap. They're the ones that really are able to provide those food pantry options, the extra holiday gifts during the winter break. Outside of that, I think we're really thinking strategically about what our partnerships with our community look like outside of campuses, outside of school, because we can't do it alone. Because our district really focuses on supporting the students, we advocate for that what happens outside of school, but there's a lot of things that we can't ourselves do. As a school district, we're really looking at the support services that we're providing students on campus, so that when a student comes to campus, regardless of their housing status, they feel at home, they feel welcome by our staff, they feel like they have the support services they need. And that's the environment that we're creating here. Through our wellness centers, we're creating that through our social workers, we're creating that through training for our staff to provide those welcoming environments, and we really want to continue to do so. There's other things that we're advocating for in our community, looking at how to increase the amount of funding that we have to provide that programming, including the revision of a local control funding formula that's more equitable for communities like the Eastside Union High School District. That is going to be what's going to help students who are facing homelessness, that are facing the extra challenges, receive additional support in their schools, not just here at Eastside, but throughout the state.
KCBS's In-Depth will return after this break. Some of the support that unhoused students in East San Jose receive comes from the Eastside Education Foundation. And so we'll turn to Carlos Singh, who is the executive director of the foundation. The Eastside Education Foundation, what is it, and just basically what does it provide for students?
Well, thank you so much for that question. Yeah, the foundation partners with the Eastside Union School District, and it partners with San Jose State University. And what it does is that we, working with Eastside Union School District, we identify and help students, making sure that they take the required courses for college entrance. And if they achieve a minimum grade level that is set by San Jose State University, we help them then get admitted into San Jose State University. So, for example, many of the students on the East Side are first generation students, the first in their families to graduate from high school, and the first with the opportunity to go to school or college, I should say. And they're pursuing what you and I pursue all the time, is the idea of achieving the American dream, the idea for them. And it was for me, my parents were farm workers, and I'm the first in my family to graduate from high school and from college. And so for them also, it's the idea of becoming leaders for their families, leaders in their communities, and achieving that American dream. And so what, in addition, what we do is we have a summer programs where we help these students get acclimated to the concept and the idea of what college life is all about before they enter, and we help them along the process. In addition to that, we also provide scholarship money. And for the rest of us that see this and see the joy in individuals' faces having the opportunity to go to college, it's in some small way living a life that matters for us. At least it is for me, in the sense of being able to provide back to the community and allowing these students to do so. So that's what the foundation generally does. We are expanding programs so that we can provide more services to students and more scholarship money. And this includes, obviously, the young students and young people who are homeless in the district that play into what happens this week and the Giving Tuesday week and a few days thereafter in connection with the McKinney-Vento Homeless Assistance Program.
It's great to hear what the Eastside Education Foundation is doing, creating this kind of pipeline for students so that they can go further with their scholastic pursuits. But as you were just saying there, you know, obviously you're very aware of the challenges and struggles that students in East San Jose are dealing with. And there's a variety of, you know, things that they're having to tackle themselves on campus and at school and outside of it. So, you know, from your perspective in the work that you do, you know, what is the state of things for students in East San Jose right now?
Well, I'm not going to say it's not a challenge. It is a challenge. And when you think about it realistically, from just from the individual point of view, for the individuals, you know, if you don't have enough to eat, if you don't have, you know, like all of us are that are fortunate to be able to have homes or apartments or live in places that many of these young people do, it's a sad situation. And so I applaud the district, and we play a small part in, well, not a small part, but we play a part in helping these young people make sure that they can achieve their dreams. But so we serve in the donations as sort of a pass-through where people will donate and the funds come through us, donate to the district through the McKenty Bento program. And then we forward all the monies to the district. And it's a sort of things that foundations do for other organizations. And so we play that part there, but it is indeed a challenge when you're trying to go to school and you don't have enough to eat. Maybe not enough clothing, not a stable place to live.
You mentioned in your previous comment that, you know, this is something that the foundation is expanding itself to help provide support, to help provide direction, because it is becoming a part of the conversation. When the East Side Education Foundation began, was this something that was, you know, thought of, that the foundation would have to be finding financial ways to kind of help the school district deal with? Was this something that the foundation was, you know, prepared for?
Well, in the sense of providing support to students, yes, you know, the founders of the foundation, Dan Mosier and Manny Barbera, who were former superintendents of school districts on the East Side, this was their vision, along with other educators on the East Side, in the idea of seeing that there was a need to support young people in pursuing their educations. Because as they will tell you, and I will tell you, that the best way for young people to achieve that American dream is by getting educated. So that vision was there.
Well, in particular, you know, since, you know, a big part of the conversation that's being focused on here is about the support from, you know, the ground up when it comes to students that are dealing with being unhoused. When it comes to this in particular, how important is it that this foundation exists? And are there other organizations in East San Jose, or at least working with the school district in East San Jose, that are there to help students?
Yeah, well, I think the answer is yes. And I think it's we're doing our small part in a challenge that is a great challenge. But one thing I would say is that, at least from my point of view, we're happy with and we're proud of what our foundation does. And we're proud about what other organizations and foundations do, from, you know, whether it's Second Harvest in terms of providing food and certain services, to a variety of others that provide mentorship, that provide financial assistance to these students. And so, again, we're proud of the role that we play in helping the district address this challenge. And sometimes young people and even families may be a little embarrassed to come forward and ask for help. And the district makes sure that it's in contact in the high schools and trying to identify individuals to make it easier for them to come forward. So it alleviates that initial wall that prevents them from coming forward or self-identifying, in the sense that they may need assistance.
It's a twofold sort of thing in conversations like this, because I'm happy, and I'm sure many other people are as well, to know that organizations like yours and others, you know, exist. But there's also that thought that, you know, you kind of wish that they didn't, because then that would mean everyone is elevated to the same level. Everyone has the same opportunities and the same chances and protections. But that isn't often the case. And so, you know, how do you envision things improving, not just there in, you know, not just in East San Jose, but for, you know, students across the Bay Area who are looking to, you know, enjoy all that life has to offer, and yet there are things that are hurdles to jump.
I agree with that. And I agree with the vision that that is reflected in your question. And there are several ways of looking at it. Many people give in different ways. Many of us give in terms of time and money, and some people are only able to give time, which is great, and others can give financial support. And so we obviously do need the financial support of the community in order to get these programs, because we could not survive without the wonderful financial, the donations and the support that we get from various individuals and organizations. So my thanks goes out to them. In terms of without getting too deep into it, sort of the idea of the American dream for every young person. And that starts much earlier than many people think, in the sense of allowing people to be ready in order to achieve that dream. You know, when you think about a vision and you think about a theme and you think about the good and right thing, that children should have the benefits of everybody, be able to, you know, have a nice place to live, have enough to eat, have enough clothing. And this goes for every young person in this country. And so, obviously life has certain challenges. And so then the question becomes is, how do we address those challenges? And so that's what our foundation, that's what the district does, that's what a lot of organizations do, is they recognize these challenges and they try to do the best they can in order to help young people of any race, any ethnicity, any origin, to be able to be in a position to become well-educated. Education, unless you're wealthy or you win the lottery, education is the way you achieve success in this country.
You can find this episode and past episodes of In Depth online at kcbsradio.com. You can also hear the episodes on the Odyssey app. Download the app on your smartphone and favorite KCBS Radio. Thanks for listening for KCBS and In Depth. I'm Mary Hughes.
You've been listening to KCBS In Depth. Get every episode by subscribing on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and other podcast platforms. Visit kcbsradio.com for more news and interviews. We are the Bay Area's news station, KCBS.